What's up, everybody? I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. We are headed into week two of the NFL season, and I've got my man Andy Kaysen from Football Card Quest and nooffseason.com. We are in episode 5 of the Football Card Strategy Show. Andy, it's your time of year, brother. How you doing, man?
I am doing great, man. So excited to have football back on TV. I mean, the NFL had us on the edge of our seats this past weekend with all these close finishes and, you know, field goal games and a couple overtimes, even a tie. But I am kind of licking my wounds because you beat me pretty good in the card content creator fantasy league. And a lot of it was self-inflicted. I know you left points on the bench, but I left a lot of points on my bench. And that definitely hurt me. But otherwise, everything's great, man. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I mean, definitely like locking that week one win against you up was a huge highlight of my weekend. I was just telling you, I went to bed, since I'm in Spain, I went to bed at like right after the end of the early games. And you were whooping me. I didn't think I had much of a chance. But, you know, it's never over till it's over. And I had Patty Mahomes, Devontae Adams left. And they came up huge for me. So I got it done. TeamNooffseason.com got it done. And now I got Lou Janoux up in week two from Card Talk. So hopefully I can go 2-0. And hopefully you can get back to 1-1.
Yeah. Well, you know, a big loss for me, not only in fantasy, but also in the card world this week, was the Dallas Cowboys and all their players. I mean, just a big loss. Dak Prescott, you know, fracturing his thumb. He's out for the next 6 to 8 weeks. So I think he was in my super flex spot. I also started Tony Pollard. And then that offense is just anemic. Even when Dak Prescott was in there, his efficiency was bad. He had like a 45 quarterback rating. It was anemic. And part of that, yes, okay, the Bucs defense is pretty good. We did put quite a bit of pressure. Todd Bowles is still calling the blitzes. He's dialing them up. You know, but I don't think Dak Prescott is going to have the year that a lot of people thought he was. And now it looks like it may be a lost season. So and with the lack of quality receivers, like Jalen Tolbert wasn't even on the field. Like he was getting a redshirt freshman treatment, not even on the field, a healthy scratch, which was another big loss for me because I've been buying a lot of his cards this past offseason and recommending other people do the same, only for him to be a total scratch on Sunday night. And so that was definitely my biggest loss for week one in terms of fantasy and cards.
Yeah, so let's continue along the lines of Dak, because I think this is a topic that is important because it'll happen later this year with somebody else. It just will. You know, people had a lot of money invested in Dak, have a lot of money invested in Dak. Dak was number 20 overall, I think, in our overall sports card rankings at nooffseason.com heading into the season. He was in our top 5 in the football card rankings. He was someone that I felt strongly about as a buy several months ago. I felt strongly about as a sell in August because of reasons like this. But I did say he was also a hold. I have to hold myself accountable. I did say he was also a hold because I thought there was a good chance that he was going to have an amazing year and that the Cowboys were going to make it to the Super Bowl because the NFC is pretty wide open. And it's, you know, on paper easier for star quarterbacks to get to the Super Bowl than it is in the AFC this year, as we've all talked about this offseason. So, Andy, what do people do with Dak specifically? Like if you own a big Dak card right now and he's out for 6 to 8 weeks, what's the play?
You got to hold it. Right now, his cards are going down a lot. Like I'm looking at his Silver Prism PSA 10. You know, they come silver out of the box from 2016. That is down to $300. It's down 23% over the previous transaction from last week. So, you know, all his cards are down, but you got to hold it because he's got this mega contract with the Cowboys. He's locked up with them through like 2026. And, you know, he's going to be back. He's going to be back. Now, this could be a lost season for the Cowboys. It looks like the Eagles are definitely going to kind of run away with this NFC East division. I mean, based on their strength of schedule, how good their defense is, plus the overall offense is just so much better now with A.J. Brown there. I mean, they're going to be a force to be reckoned with. So I think that, you know, Cooper Rush is terrible. I mean, he's a bad quarterback. Like he was bad in college. Like his stats in the NFL when he has had starting opportunities were very underwhelming. So you know, he's had like one good game ever that people can hang their hats on. So it's not like I would not expect any type of good performance metrics from any of these guys on Dallas, you know, and plus they already had offensive line woes. With the loss to their offensive line in free agency and now injuries. And I mean, it was just, it was not good, man. So, you know, they're playing Cincinnati this upcoming weekend. They're about to get roasted by the Bengals, and the Bengals are out for some revenge, like just to get back, you know, get back from after what happened to them last week against the Steelers. And I think you just got to hold Dak, man. You just got to hold them and be prepared. Like maybe next free agency, next draft hype cycle, they've got to draft some better wide receiver talent. CeeDee Lamb is not a true alpha receiver. He's not a guy like a Davante Adams or Justin Jefferson that you could feed 10 to 15 targets to and line him up on the inside, outside, all over the field and expect him to get open and produce big numbers. He's not that kind of guy. He needs a complementary role. And I think that's why they did so much better with Amari when they had Amari Cooper there. But now they don't have an Amari Cooper. You know, they're running out an older veteran, you know, late draft guy Noah Brown, and they just don't have anybody to play a complementary role. And so I'm out on all the Cowboys players right now and just holding them. That's the good thing about cards, right, Paul? We could just hold them, yeah. Put them in our collection, and maybe leave them in a buy it now. But I mean, honestly, I wouldn't expect to sell any, especially not for profit, and just hold them for now.
Yeah, and for those of you who are new to the show and to the feed, a sports card strategy feed, you know, we talk about investing. Basically, our angle is pretty much 100% investing in terms of the plays that we talk about. But if you're a Dak super collector, this could be a good time for you, right? Like if you want to hold him anyway, like forever-ish, now's a good time to maybe buy him. I'm not saying that he's a great investment necessarily because like – let me know if you agree or disagree, but like I probably would be trying to get out. I'd probably be, if I owned Dak right now, I'd probably be waiting until he either comes back or until the next hype cycle to sell him and then just be done with him. Because this is, you know, this is, I just don't want to deal with injuries like this, especially with the guy, you know, while he does have upside and talent and is on the Cowboys, who have an amazingly large fan base across the world. I would just be done with Dak personally, but if you're a Dak super collector, this would seem like a good time to snag up his stuff. Do you think he's a buy low investment as well, or do you think it's just if you're looking for Dak cards to hold for the long term, that now's a good time to buy?
I think he's a decent buy low investment. The problem that I have is that his rushing numbers have declined ever since the horrific ankle injury that he suffered in 2020. And these injuries are just kind of stacking up. They seem to be plaguing him the last couple of years. And that's definitely a concern for me that he's on this track record of getting injured a lot. I don't know what's going on, you know, with him. If it's just bad luck, like, of course the thumb was kind of bad luck. Shaq Barrett kind of hit him in the hand there twice. And those kind of things are hard to predict, but the lat muscle strain he had last year, the shoulder injury, the ankle before, I mean, it definitely is concerning. And, you know, they have such a massive market that these cards have potential to go up in a very fast manner if the Cowboys are super relevant again and winning a bunch of games. But I mean, their depth on their team is not good. Like the wide receiver depth is not good. The offensive line depth is not good. The coaching is subpar with Mike McCarthy. Like, I've never really been a big Mike McCarthy fan. You know, he didn't really do too great of a job. You know, a lot of Packers fans' opinions when he was in Green Bay. So, you know, it's just – I see Dak maybe spiking in hype if they draft a really good wide receiver. I wouldn't be surprised if they miss the playoffs altogether this year. Like, you know, mm-hmm. The Giants upset the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. Brian Daboll seems to be really infusing a lot of good leadership and a lot of aggressive play calling and some good stuff into the Giants. So I wouldn't be surprised if they kind of, you know, do okay, maybe around 500. And then the Commanders, now with Carson Wentz, are even a force to be reckoned with. And you look at Carson Wentz's Silver Prism cards, same draft year as Dak, number two overall pick. And his Silver Prism PSA 10 is about $100, Dak's $300. And I think you're going to see maybe Carson Wentz's go up even a little bit more if he can win this upcoming game this weekend against the Lions and continues to put up. Like, he was a top three quarterback this past week in fantasy scoring. I mean, the guy threw four touchdowns. So a pretty impressive performance from him. But it's, look at the weapons around him. And Terry McLaurin, Jahan Dotson, and Curtis Samuel, he's got good weapons, whereas the Dallas Cowboys' weapons are just very shallow. You know, yeah, Tony Pollard and Zeke are great, but if the play calling's not good and all you have for receivers is CeeDee Lamb, you're kind of pigeonholed, man, and they're kind of predictable. And I think the Buccaneers really, you know, took advantage of that Sunday night, just kind of shut them down.
Yeah, so along the lines of Dak obviously having a kind of a fluke of an injury that's hard to predict, but, you know, Wentz playing well due to his supporting cast, offensive line. He also had Antonio Gibson, you know, out of the backfield catching passes. Is there any, let's first talk about any other quarterbacks that you might be concerned with coming out of week one. You follow a lot of statistical analysis. You read a lot, you watch a lot of football. Is there anything that you sort of saw in week one that aligned with some concerns maybe you had going into the season related to any quarterback specifically?
Sure.
Or offenses specifically that you would maybe caution sports card investors to look out for?
Yeah, I'd say the biggest one is Kyler Murray on the Arizona Cardinals. I mean, they got waxed by the Kansas City Chiefs, but it's not that. Like, you could tell that there is a lack of leadership on that Arizona Cardinals offense. And I think it starts with Kyler Murray and Cliff Kingsbury. And we know that it's been a very tumultuous offseason with Kyler and the whole contract situation, the how immature he was throughout that negotiation process. And then for them to put in the film study clause and all this information coming out that he's always like playing video games instead of studying film. And it's just, it seems like there's a lot of uncertainty there in the Arizona offense, and his cards have been down so much. But I mean, you look at their upcoming schedule, it's incredibly difficult. They have no DeAndre Hopkins. It was clear that that was a big issue for them this past weekend. So yeah, I am definitely concerned, and I'm like avoiding the Arizona Cardinals offense altogether. Like those guys, Kyler Murray and anybody else on the Cardinals, like, I'm avoiding them. They've got the Rams next week. This week they've got the Raiders, so they're playing in Vegas this week against the Raiders. I think they easily lose that game, as the Raiders, you know, they put up a fight against the Chargers, but then they get the Rams. I mean, we're looking at the Cardinals probably going 0-3 here if I had to put money on it, and it doesn't get too much easier after that for them. They got the Panthers after that, so maybe a win, maybe they go 1-4, but like, I'd be super worried about them. And that would be the main one. Definitely a little concerned about Trey Lance, but I think we all were kind of concerned about Trey Lance. And the other thing I would say is that, you know, that game against Chicago Sunday was just a total monsoon. I mean, you saw Justin Fields out there, like, you know, sliding on the water, those Chicago players. And so I think you have to throw that out. Like, give them a fresh start. They're playing Seattle at home this weekend. And so we'll have, you know, better weather, you know, home environment circumstances. Let's see what he can do here. Let's see. You know, let's give him a little bit longer leash. And they are, because they spent so much money on him before any type of, you know, Jimmy G conversations start happening about, you know, them benching Trey Lance and starting Jimmy G. You know, I kind of do the same thing with Baker, right? He lost in a close game to the Browns, and he didn't quite get the revenge that he was out for against the Browns. The Browns' run game is just so dominant with Nick Chubb, Kareem Hunt. Baker played okay. He started off slow. There was definitely some miscommunication there with him and his offensive line. A couple botched, like four botched snaps, actually. And then he ended up did connecting pretty well with Robbie Anderson deep. So that was promising. But overall, it wasn't like it was a meh type of performance. And I'll give him the benefit of the doubt and see what happens over the course of the next 2 weeks. One more underwhelming performance that I think – you do kind of have to be a little bit worried about the Rams, of course, last Thursday night. I mean, they got beat pretty good by the Bills. And, you know, Matt Stafford just, man, under pressure, he just made some pretty critical mistakes in that game, did not look sharp. And maybe this is just the whole Super Bowl, like, Super Bowl letdown or Super Bowl hangover, I guess you should say, after winning the Super Bowl and kind of like, you know, trying to get back to that form. So I think they're going to have a pretty slow start to their season, and it may take them a little while to get going there. Aaron Rodgers, I mean, that's a problem for Aaron Rodgers in the NFC North, getting waxed by the Vikings. And look at last year, what happened to Rodgers. They got beat by the Saints pretty bad in week one. And Aaron Rodgers, I think, kind of notoriously starts off slow. So I'm not like a, you know, obviously he's a lock for the Hall of Fame. So if you're buying into Aaron Rodgers, it's okay. And this is a little window here, but he doesn't have the chemistry with any of his receivers. Christian Watson, their number two second round draft pick this year, dropped a wide open 75 yard touchdown pass, and you could just see the disgust on Aaron Rodgers' face. And we know that he's totally faded guys like Jeff Janis for doing this in the past. And maybe this is karma, but you know, he needs that somebody there. And Alan Lazard was out, he was hurt. And he went on Pat McAfee's show yesterday and was like, I just need to get the ball into A.J. Dillon's hands, Aaron Jones' hands. So there was one guy on the Packers offense I'd be buying into. It's A.J. Dillon, like, all day. Like, he actually out-snapped Aaron Jones 2-1, out-carried him 2-1, out-targeted him. So I think A.J. Dillon is actually just kind of, like, taking over this backfield, just demanding it based on his performance. And Aaron Jones will be more of a complimentary role. So that was exciting to see.
Okay, cool. So I want to ask you more in a minute about position players, skill position players that might be some upcoming hype week flips, right? But before we get to that, let's talk about a few more QBs, because you mentioned Christian Watson dropping a wide open touchdown pass. I saw Travis Etienne basically take a Trevor Lawrence touchdown pass, swing pass, and essentially bat it against the field. And I was very disappointed because I was starting Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne against you. Luckily I still beat you in the card content creator league. But I also, you know, Travis Etienne's a guy that I was high on, but really Trevor Lawrence is the guy I want to talk about, because he and Jared Goff and David Carr and Russell Wilson all lost really close games, right? So does the card world and specifically sports card investors who bought them before the season and are looking to sell them during the season, during a hype spike, are they in for some good times ahead with those four guys? You want to break those four guys down real quick?
Yeah, I think Derek Carr is the safest. Derek Carr and Russell Wilson, right? Russell Wilson, I mean, should have won that game. There was a lot of miscues in that game. There was a couple turnovers by the running backs at the goal line that were miscued. And there was like really questionable coaching decisions, especially at the end of the game when they decided to go for a 63-yard field goal instead of giving it to Russ at 4th and 5. And he could have easily converted that. And so that was like a game that they Seahawks got lucky. And I think you can expect a big bounce back. He still threw for over 300 yards, and he showed some very good chemistry with Jerry Jeudy and Cortland Sutton. And so I'm not out on Russell Wilson at all. I think they're going to bounce back. The one thing that does concern me on Denver is the poor performance from their defense. That was not good. I was expecting a lot more out of their defense. So not out. Derek Carr, I mean, great chemistry with Davante Adams. Nobody can cover Davante Adams. It's clear that he wants to go to Davante Adams, and people still can't stop it. The problem there is definitely going to be their defense. I mean, they're just their secondary, their linebackers, not good. And so, you know, definitely like the Raiders are going to have to keep up with people, and the Chargers are just like a force to beat. It's them in Kansas City. And the AFC West are going to be the teams to beat, is what it looks like. So I'm not out on Derek Carr, because I think he'll be right in the thick of it. They'll find a way to win games. And, you know, I think this presents a nice little buy low window for those guys, because they have more, especially Russell Wilson has a much higher Hall of Fame score, Hall of Fame marker rating than those other guys. So you have a lot of safety and security in that, you know, alone. So this presents a nice little buy low window, I think. For Trevor Lawrence, I'm actually going to say sell. I'm going to say sell, get out, because he's still hyped up being a number one overall pick from last year, and he still has a lot of hype. They've got a difficult schedule up ahead. They're playing the Colts this weekend. and maybe that turns out to be a close game because the Colts, you know, they tied the Houston Texans this past week in a close game, and Matt Ryan wasn't exactly as sharp as a lot of people, you know, were hoping that he would be. But, you know, just from the run game perspective and the overall quality of the Colts team, it's going to be near impossible for the Jaguars to get past them. And Trevor Lawrence showed a lot of nerves, like nerves as in he was nervous. He was airmailing guys. Like, you saw the same thing I did probably if you watched it. I saw him airmailing wide open guys. You're right. Travis Etienne showed a little bit of nerves. He also, you know, in terms of utilization, took a back seat to James Robinson. Now, the good thing that I saw looking at the utilization report is that Travis Etienne had all of the 2-minute drill work. He was on the field for the entire 2-minute drill and hurry up offense. And so I do see the Jags being a lot of those type of situations, negative game script this year, and having to rely on Etienne. So I think he'll pop off and he'll have some spike weeks and have some good games. And, you know, still, you know, very much a rookie, but Trevor, now the difficulty of their schedule upcoming, I mean, we could be looking at them going another team going 0-3, 0-4, and just having another really struggling year. I didn't see the crisp, clean accuracy from him that, you know, I think we needed to see, and very, very concerning, man. I would sell him while he's still, like, when I look at the prices and just like look at their optic hollows, because they're all very, that's a very liquid card. See a ton of transactions for it. It's very popular. Trevor Lawrence is still about $65. That's more than Mac Jones, Justin Fields, Zach Wilson, Trey Lance. You know, it's more than all those guys. So if you could still get those prices right now, people are still hyped up about him, I would sell because they're about to go down even more.
Nice. Okay, well, shout out to Texas Roadshow Shop real quick. Thanks for jumping in the comments here. Good morning to you as well, Chase Krim. Most likely that's you. We'd love to have you back on the show sometime. Okay, so I want to get to the skill position players because I have a thought there for you, and I know that that's where you're very good and you're good at arbitrage with the skill position. But I am curious as to your take on, and I know I mentioned Jared Goff. So let's talk about three guys in the same division real quick, because you already mentioned Aaron Rodgers. I'm curious to your thoughts on Jared Goff, Justin Fields, and Kirk Cousins, all three of which are at completely different points in their career, completely different sports card investment profiles, right? You've got the Fields, who's got high ceiling, but very, very risky. You've got Goff, who's kind of meh, like people have already kind of written him off a little bit, but you and I both kind of know his upside. I've heard you talk about him multiple times this offseason. And then you've got Cousins, who I think people are like, you're either really a Kirk Cousins guy or you just have zero interest in Kirk Cousins, but the team looks good and he's throwing the ball to Justin Jefferson and they could make a run. So can sports card investors make money with any or all? What would be the best way to invest or not invest in any of these three guys?
Well, I think you got to look at Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is a buy for me. And the days of you know, those $10 to $15 2012 Prism rookie cards of Kirk Cousins are going to disappear if they have not already, because, you know, that's the first year Prism. It's a pretty scarce product. You look, you go and try and find his rookie ticket autos. These are pretty rare. And that Vikings team is, I mean, dude, they could honestly, they could be sneaky, a sneaky dark horse to actually take down the NFC North at this point. I'd say over Goff. I think Goff probably ends up finishing out around a 500 record, but there's still a lot of weaknesses on the defense. And, you know, they get down early in games. And yeah, Goff has got the firepower. He looked a little spooky from time to time out there, but overall he played really well coming down the stretch and was able to put up some nice points. And they've got great skill position players across the board, from DeAndre Swift, Jamal Williams, Amon-Ra St. Brown, DJ Chark. So love their weapons. And I think that with the offensive line, everything keeps them in the game. But I think they are going to be outgunned a lot. They were outgunned this past week from the Eagles. What's awesome is, like, the NFL is like putting these guys in a gauntlet. So this upcoming week, you've got the Eagles playing the Vikings on Monday Night Football. this is where Kirk Cousins has historically struggled big time. Like, the one thing that he is known for is having a terrible record in primetime situations. So if he can continue this dominance, and a lot of it could be thanks to new head coach Kevin O'Connell, who's a former offensive coordinator from the Rams, and we talked about him changing the pace of play, making them play more aggressive. Adam Thielen even said it, like, this is the most fun he's ever had playing in the NFL is under Kevin O'Connell. Like, this is going to be very much a Brandon Staley Chargers type of offense where they're very aggressive and they go for it a lot. And I think that maximizes Kirk Cousins' efficiency. Kirk Cousins has got a great efficiency for years now, and he's put up good numbers. And now if he finally can put these wins together, just because they're just putting the gas pedal down on opponents from the very first snap and taking advantage of the fact that nobody can cover Justin Jefferson. Nobody can cover that guy. So, you know, I would say buy Kirk Cousins anywhere you can. If you're at a card show, if you know somebody that's looking to liquidate because they still are not believing that Kirk Cousins can make a playoff run this year, like, this is the year for Kirk Cousins. And it's nice because you can compare. And I'm not saying that Kirk Cousins' card should be that of Russell Wilson, but same draft class, you basically can line them up next to Ryan Tannehill, Russell Wilson. And I think there's a lot of opportunity for somebody to buy raw Kirk Cousins cards and get them graded, because I look at the population of his Prism, for example. His Prism PSA 10 population is only like 31. Russell Wilson's is almost 1,000, and Ryan Tannehill's is like 150. So I'm like, where's all these raw Prism Kirk Cousins cards? They're out there. They're out there somewhere. Maybe you find them on eBay. I saw a $10 trans, like $10. Like, give me that all day. A $100 rookie ticket auto. That's a $1,500, $2,000 card for Russell Wilson. You know, so I'm not saying that it's going to get up to that, but it could easily go up to $400, $500, and it could continue to go up the more games the Vikings win and string together. You know, and so, yeah, that's very exciting for Cousins, the AFC North. Justin Fields, I think, is I like his dual threat capability. You know, he rushed for a couple first downs in this water game. He also broke a couple tackles. He also made a decent money throw towards the end to Dante Pettis to secure that touchdown to kind of rally from being down 10-0 for a lot of that game. So, you know, yeah, that was great, a great start to his season. But, you know, they get Packers Sunday Night Football. All right, let's see what they can do here in normal weather conditions against a really good defense and a really good team. That San Francisco really good, but that game was just such an anomaly because of the weather. I really think we've got to, you know, rule that out to really get a good evaluation for how good these teams are, these quarterbacks are.
Love it. Well, I love seeing guys play well. I think I saw a lot of good play in week one. A lot of it happened in the second half of the games that I was watching. So let's get into some position players. I think that there's a lot of opportunity with making money on position players. Like, quarterbacks are the big money guys, but skill position players, I think, are the guys where if you know your stuff, if you're willing to do the research and follow the news and the schedule, you can make some money off some hype spikes, right? So you mentioned AJ Dillon earlier. Who else should sports card investors keep on their watch list to potentially snag a card of and then look over the next 1 to 4 weeks for a hype spike from a running back, wide receiver, or tight end position?
And a lot of, like, I immediately go to the wide receiver after the quarterback because I think they have the most volatility and potential to make, like, splash plays. And they also have the potential to just go really undervalued and then come out of nowhere and have these massive games. And a lot of what I'm looking at is the utilization report. So, like, how often is this guy actually on the field, or did he just kind of get lucky in a sense and get targeted at the right time? And was it a small sample size? Like, ultimately what I want is guys that are on the field a lot. And then that'll translate into, combined with their athletic ability, that'll translate into targets, receptions, touchdowns, the whole nine yards. So one guy that I think is absolutely undervalued still after what he did Sunday is Julio Jones Sunday night. Chris Godwin is going to now be out again for the next 3 to 4 weeks. It's clear that Julio Jones is a critical component of our offensive plans with Tom Brady. And I didn't realize this, but Julio Jones, you know, cited as being on the Tom Brady TB12 diet. I think you've got to kind of look at this as like Julio Jones locked for the Hall of Fame, one of the best wide receivers statistically of all time, but doesn't have that Super Bowl ring. He desperately wants one, and he knows this is his chance. So he's going to do everything in his power to be on the field, and he's going to play any role that we ask of him. And he looked like he had some nice wiggle, some nice juice in the tank Sunday night. He's going to be heavily involved, man. He's going to be a big plan of our game plan, our attack moving forward. And I think Tom Brady wants to feed him the ball as well. And, you know, in the red zone, absolutely Mike Evans is going to be a primary target. But look for Julio Jones all over the field. Jet sweeps, you know, wide receiver screens, intermediate, deep. You saw him catch a nice deep ball. Like, expect a lot out of Julio Jones. And the 2011 rookie product from him is still pretty cheap. Like, you know, his most popular card that sold the most in the past 30 days is his just base tops, where he's it's the one that's called Ball at the Chest. And this card is a $53 PSA 10, or even the Bowman Chrome, which is considerably more rare. It's got like a short print finish. In fact, I've got a couple Mark Ingram variations right here. This card of Julio Jones, PSA 10 right now, $53. Like, that is just undervalued still. And people aren't reacting, I think, quickly enough. It's taken the hobby a little bit of time, just probably because of the injury rap sheet that he's got. But let's face it, man, if Julio Jones does stay healthy with Tom Brady, like, even if he gets banged up a little bit and misses a few games, they're going to make sure that he's relevant for the playoffs. And Tom Brady is absolutely going to make a playoff run in his final season here. I mean, our defense is too good. The offense is plenty good enough, you know, especially captained by Tom Brady and the play calling by Tom Brady and Byron Leftwich. You got to see this coming. And Julio Jones is an absolute favorite pickup of mine this week.
Love it.
Yeah. Yeah. One another guy that I think is just an easy buy, like, right now, he's about to go off big time, is Josh Palmer for the Chargers. A lot of people, like, saw Justin Herbert spread the ball around a lot. He threw the ball to seven different receivers, four targets for each of them. But there was, a sheesh moment, like what I call a sheesh moment, because there was a double move that Josh Palmer totally destroyed the corner, and would have been a big play, but Justin Herbert could not get the ball out in time. He got too much pressure in his face and had to throw it away. And that would have been a big play for Josh Palmer. And now Keenan Allen is going to be out. Well, he's doubtful, but most likely he's going to be out with a hamstring injury. And so Jalen Guyton did split some slot snaps with Josh Palmer. But whenever Keenan Allen, after the injury, Josh Palmer took all of those snaps out of the slot for Keenan Allen. So I found that very interesting. I think Josh Palmer, we already knew he was the clear number three. He had beaten out Jalen Guyton for that job. And now I think we're going to see him unlocked, unleashed here Thursday night. They're playing Thursday night against the Kansas City Chiefs. So, I mean, two powerhouses, AFC West. This is what's so exciting about the NFL. Both 1-0, both high-octane, powerful offenses. You're going to see Justin Herbert have to throw the ball even more against Kansas City Chiefs, because they're just going to go score to score. It's going to be going toe-to-toe here. And I think you're about to see Josh Palmer get unlocked against the Chiefs. He's a guy I absolutely want to try and get, especially as a second-year player. He's got a lot of that youth, and he can drive a lot of that FOMO or fear of missing out. And so he's an exciting player to pick up this week as well.
Yeah, I see a lot of Josh Palmer sales over the last 2 days. Nice-looking rookie autos from a bunch of different brands, all under $35. I mean, you've got Select out of 99 was the highest sale for $34. Even like a Clearly Donruss, $5.50 for a rookie auto. I mean, some of these are dirt cheap. So with a guy like Josh Palmer, what should we be looking to target card-wise? Like, do we need to get a rookie ticket auto for a particular price? I see one that went for under $22, best offer accepted yesterday. Do we need to look for a particular card at a particular price, or do we go with do we go with anything that kind of sort of fits our budget for a guy like Josh Palmer?
So I would say one card to actually look at, it's pretty new, but you can find some deals. And these cards are going for exponentially more money than they were last year, is 2021 Select Field Level Silver Prism. And this is the reason why. They are obviously more rare than they were in 2020, and they're obviously going for more money than they were in 2020. And part of this is a little bit because it's still fairly new, but that set has been out for a few weeks now, and it's still, these prices are very good. And I've talked to a lot of hobbyists in my DMs, in my messages, in my community, in my Discord, and they love the 2021 Select Field Level design, hands down, better than the 2020 design. And so I think 2021 Select Field Level Silver Prism for around $10 to $15 is a great spot for Josh Palmer. Also, if you're looking like entry level, Optic Hollow, man. Optic Hollows for $5 are great because these cards have an easy potential to go up to sell and to buy it now with a plain white envelope shipping for like $19.99. They're super liquid, tons of transactions. That's a great card to get into if you can find it in a dollar bin or a $5 bin, something like that. Otherwise, I am going to pay up. I'm going to get something autographed. I have seen some rookie ticket autos go for around $20. I think that's a fantastic price point right there. That's a card that could easily jump to $40 or $50, especially understanding that it is a short print insert from Contenders. And there's actually information. Shout out to my guy, David Hunter, who posted this up. You can find this on the Panini website. They released information that short print inserts have a print run of approximately 150. So if you think about that card, it's not serial numbered, but it does have a print run somewhere around 150. And there's multiple variations, sure, but short print run around 150. And then like there's wild card inserts, there's photo variations inserts, which are considered to be even more rare. Those apparently have a print run under 100. So I love those cards because the supply of them can disappear pretty quickly, and therefore, you know, the prices go up, you know, a lot. And I love that little $20 entry price point, because I see like a good sweet spot for skill position players, like it is about $50 to $60, right? If you know, a lot of hobbyists are looking to really, like, when they get sold out on one guy and they're looking to put some money in, they'll go on, they'll spend $50 to $60 pretty comfortably. And they may do it a lot of times in a buy it now transaction. So you get it right then. You get that instant gratification, right? And so if you can snipe these in auction, though, ending throughout the week for 20, you could turn around and sell them in a buy it now for, you know, $50 and make a nice little double up.
Absolutely. And that's what I love about football card investing, in this particular niche of football card investing that we're talking about with a guy like Josh Palmer. It's because if you're new to football cards, or if you collected football cards as a kid and you're new to sports card investing, but you've played fantasy football for years, and maybe you do some player prop bets on FanDuel, DraftKings, or one of the other platforms, it's another way to get in on a guy like Josh Palmer if you missed out on him in your fantasy league. So take that knowledge and think about really anybody that you like. If you're new, the reason I said to Andy, like, with a guy like Josh Palmer, what types of plays, what types of cards do we need to look at? What I mean specifically is, let's say you missed out on a guy in your fantasy draft that you love. This is a strategy that you can take into cards, and you can say, all right, well, I think Josh Palmer is going to do X, Y, and Z over the next few weeks. How can I monetize or have fun with entertainment value and potentially monetize a guy like, you know, or my love for a guy like a Josh Palmer, or my gut feeling, my call on a Josh Palmer type guy, and what can I do with that? And so I really, really like that about sports cards. And that's why I asked Andy specifically, like, what types of cards? Because I do think, you do need to be careful if you're new to buying sports cards, right now in the last couple of years. You do need to be careful not to overpay. You do need to know the difference between some of the cards and things like that. So I like that call. I like it. You know, so he's a third round draft pick. So my last question regarding this particular part of the conversation is, being that he was a third round draft pick, related to the short print and Contenders, and that is great information that it's approximately 150 and it's not serial numbered, does the third round draft pick have less rookie ticket autos than a first round draft pick? Or do all day one through day two guys have about the same amount, and then you know, then the rest of the guys have a lot less, like rounds 4 through 7, and free agents have a lot less. Do you know? I know you'd be the guy to if anybody knows, I feel like you would know that.
Well, I look at it this way. I don't think the print run is less, but he does have fewer variations. So there's, you know, certain one of ones and certain other short print inserts that he just doesn't get because he's a third round draft pick. Now, he does get a lot. I think the cutoff for Panini is after the third round. So, like, I look at this year, right? There's a couple guys that were drafted later in the draft. One is Daniel Bellinger, rookie tight end for the New York Giants. He was drafted in the fourth round. He literally has not been printed in a single card from Panini. So I'm like, wait a minute, but this guy was drafted in the fourth round. He played pretty good in college. You know, he's got a great athletic profile. Why was he not printed in anything or invited to a rookie premiere event or anything like that? So that to me tells me that the cutoff for Panini is the third round. And then after that, they'll come back. Like if Daniel Bellinger has a good season, he starts off, I guarantee you, don't be surprised if the sets that are released later. And that's something else I want to talk to you about for the rookies, the sets that are released later this winter at the end of the year and next year for this year's draft class. They include these guys like a Daniel Bellinger, like Isaiah Pacheco on Kansas City Chiefs, you know? So yeah, there's not a shorter print run per se on the rookie ticket auto of Josh Palmer compared to, you know, like Travis Etienne in the first round, but there is a lower amount of variety. There's certain sets and cards that Josh Palmer's just not going to be in that Travis Etienne is going to be in based on the draft capital. But once they do decide to print them in a Silver Prism Auto or Rookie Ticket Auto, then I do think the print runs are going to be pretty much equal, if not, you know, exactly equal.
Yeah, that's great information. Okay, so a couple more points on skill position players, and then we can spend some time on the releases and sort of the impact that you feel like the release schedule is going to have on football card investing, not only right now, but basically off into the offseason. So, you know, looking at nooffseason.com football card rankings, I'm convinced Justin Jefferson is the number one skill position investment, followed by Ja'Marr Chase. I mean, they're basically 1A and 1B. I think the hobby probably has more love for Chase for a lot of reasons, but that's part of the reason why I have Justin Jefferson ranked ahead of him, is because I feel like Justin Jefferson is probably a better buy based on the pricing. Now, having said that, I want to talk about, you know, any other skill position players, specifically there's one LSU guy that I want to ask you about in a second, who's not a wide receiver, but what about wide receivers like Stephon Diggs or Devontae Adams? Other guys that are on, like, for all intents and purposes, they're just like Jefferson and Chase from a real life football domination standpoint. How do they translate to their card value and their opportunity to have increased card value throughout the rest of this season?
Well, you know what's interesting about, and I'm glad you brought these guys up, because both of them have changed teams. You know, Devontae Adams this year, Stephon Diggs in 2020. And so there is product out of Stephon Diggs in Bills uniforms, and I saw quite a few transactions actually happen since Thursday night of like serial number cards out of 50, out of 75, out of 25 of Stephon Diggs in Bills uniforms. And I think that has to be an equal target, investment target for investors as his rookie product from 2015, because there's polarizing uniform differences there. And a lot of people that are investing in him now, it's because of what he's doing with the Bills and Josh Allen and a part of this ascension from the Bills. And I think the same thing goes. It's just such a polarizing difference between Green Bay Packers uniforms and Raiders uniforms there that, you know, once he is printed in Raiders uniforms, and there is, I think, a little bit of stuff like 2022 Legacy has some Devontae Adams stuff. It has some Russell Wilson stuff and new uniforms. So Panini is like, you know, they're doing a little bit to get them in their new uniforms. And there's some instant stuff out there that has them. But I think you have to kind of look at that the same time you're looking at the rookie product. I think for that reason, the rookie product does tend to go a little bit undervalued. And especially when you consider where they're at on the Hall of Fame marker score. So I think like 2015, if you're looking to invest in them, you know, PSA 10 for under $100 of Stephon Diggs, Prism is a really, like, that's a good deal. rookie ticket autos under $100 of Stephon Diggs. Those are good deals because from 2015, I mean, these rookie ticket autos get way more rare, man. And there's just a lot fewer variations, and they could disappear very quickly, and the prices can go up exponentially. And if it's in good condition, that's another issue, like the base paper card stock, because this is before optic contenders. You know, it could be hard to find them in good condition. So if you do find one in good condition for like 60, 70, 80 bucks, I think that's a great deal. Clearly the Bills are on another ascension. Like, you know, this may be the year they finally get through the championship game, but they're at least getting back to that championship game. They're going to be right back in the thick of the playoffs. So you can feel very good about your Stephon Diggs investment. And Adams will be in the thick of it, and he's going to have an incredible year, like incredible year statistically. I'm just not sure the Raiders are going to have enough firepower and defensive, you know, prowess to you know, win enough games to really kind of make it deep, especially in the AFC West. Like, that's the big difference there. So,
yeah, I think, like, if you're not, if you can't, if Josh Allen is unachievable for you, Diggs could be a guy that, if you believe in the Bills getting all the way to the Super Bowl, Diggs could be a guy to buy now and see how that plays out. Because we saw Gabe Davis be the hero in the playoffs last year, even though they lost that game. and I think they lost. Didn't Gabe Davis catch four
touchdowns against Kansas City Chiefs? They still lost
that they game lost in overtime. But I think Diggs could be the guy that, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, but I think Diggs could be the guy in the playoffs this year that has a big game that they actually win, and then we see that spike. So that's cool. All right, so three running backs I want to throw out real quick. I think I know what you're going to say with two of them. Let's go Christian McCaffrey and Saquon Barkley. When I say their names after week one, what words or word comes to mind?
Saquon Barkley, it's hype, man. Hype. I mean, he is on top of my hype index chart right now. You know, just totally smashed against the Titans. You know, had a 68-yard run. I think he had two breakaway runs. He had a bunch of missed tackles. He had a critical touchdown, a critical two-point conversion at the end. So, I mean, Saquon Barkley is more or less the hero of that team from Sunday and getting the upset over the Titans. So, he is incredibly hyped up. I'm seeing his values go up across the board. PSA 10 based on, and I think they could absolutely keep climbing as well. Like, I look at the Giants' upcoming schedule, and I mean, they've got a chance here to go 2-0 out of the gate. Let me go back to my schedule here because I off the top of my head. But I was looking at it last night. Yeah, they're playing the Panthers. So there you go. Well, you talked about Christian McCaffrey. So we'll talk about both of them because they're playing each other this weekend at 1 o'clock, the Giants, and they're at home. So I think you could absolutely see Saquon have another massive game. He's a focal point of that offense. Kadarius Toney was virtually uninvolved in this game, ran only 7 snaps. I don't know if it could be potential beef with the coaching staff. You know, Kadarius Toney is a knucklehead off the field, and we talked about that before, and that's definitely something that holds him back. But Saquon Barkley is a focal point, and not only rushing, but he was also tied for target lead on the offense next to Sterling Shepard. So Saquon Barkley, massive focal point. He's healthy, and he is going to continue hit these type of performances. So watch out. Like, it's not a bad idea to get on that train because – they are probably going to continue going up. Like, I'm looking at $50 based on risk PSA 10s, but you know, these have room to go up. Like, I could see optic PSA 10s, prism PSA 10s get up to $100. If we look at the chart and go back to when Saquon Barkley was super hyped up at the beginning of last season, you know, he's a generational type talent. And if now he's finally passed all these injuries and he puts an entire season together, like if he puts an entire season together, plus the Giants start out here 2-0, you know, the Panthers this week, and then next week they get the Cowboys at home. So it's like boom, boom, and that's a Monday Night Football. So if they beat the Panthers this week, go 2-0, they go home again Monday Night Football against the Cowboys. That should be an easy win. Another game, we just saw Leonard Fournette gash up the Cowboys. Another game where the Saquon's the focal point. He puts up a big game. Monday Night Football, they go 3-0, and Saquon's still the focal point, still putting up these 25, 30-point fantasy performance-type games. I mean, watch out. I mean, those Prism PSA 10s are going to go up to, you know, probably close to $300 if I had to guess, somewhere around there, just because of the draft capital he comes with, the market size of New York Giants, and the win streak that they'll be on at that point. So that's exciting. I mean, I think Giants fans are very excited. They'll be put to a test, but they have a very winnable matchup this week and then a very winnable matchup in week three. So I like that. On the other hand, Christian McCaffrey could have had a much better game if there wasn't so many of those botched snaps. There was one botched snap where Christian McCaffrey actually had to pick it up, ran for 22 yards, didn't get credit for it, you know, in the box score. So his day could have been better. He is still a focal point. They're going to rely heavily on him, but it's not as much as Saquon Barkley. There's still very much an element there of Baker Mayfield kind of captaining the ship and playing some of that hero ball and pushing the ball down the field quite a bit. And there's a lot better coaching in New York with Brian Daboll and a lot more emphasis put on Saquon Barkley and just a lot better play calling to, like, get him into space and stuff. And it's exciting for the Giants right now. So if I had to pick one between the two of them, it would be on Saquon.
This is what I love about the NFL too. I mean, things change so quickly from year to year. I mean, last year the Giants were in the doldrums, and this year they could be off to a 3-0 start, according to you. Now, I know that's a lot, you know, we don't know yet, but Saquon Barkley's Donruss PSA 10 that you referenced, the base, those were going for like 20, 30 bucks in the offseason. And you think they could get up to 100. So that's cool. All right. Last running back, Clyde Edwards-Helaire. The only reason I have to throw him out here is because our guy, Carter Bryant, on the Football Card Quest, threw his name out there as a potential sleeper. Now, I think he was obviously favoring his LSU squad, his LSU guy. But I mean, he had a pretty decent week one. I mean, are we going to see a comeback of hype for CEH, or are you just fading him completely still?
See, so this is a prime example. When you actually look at the utilization report, it paints a different picture, because Clyde Edwards-Helaire did get 2 touchdowns, and that's what a lot of people saw on the highlight reels. And they're like, whoa, Clyde Edwards-Helaire has been resurrected. I saw a ton of transactions pop off for him, a lot of RPAs, like people sinking $50, $100 in Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He's a former first-round draft pick, and he's on the Chiefs, and now he pops off with this big 2-touchdown performance. But I actually look at the snap count. So if you look at the snap count, right, it's a total of 65 snaps for the Chiefs in that game against the Cardinals. Clyde Edwards-Helaire was only in for 27. So, you know, just only a 30% snap share. That's not very big. So you're definitely, I would say, sell on this hype, because it's not it's not something that is going to just be consistent week in and week out. It's not a focal point. Like, he is not a focal point. He's also one of those guys that just, I would say, be very cautious. I'd say this is some wonderful hype to potentially get out of your Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I'm not buying in. Like, I'm waiting for them to print some cards of Isaiah Pacheco, who,
yes,
like, you know, from a usage standpoint, yeah, he was on the field less, but he got 12 carries compared to Clyde Edwards-Helaire 8, and they were a high leverage situation type of carries. So I'm looking at that as more of an indicator of future success than Clyde Edwards-Helaire getting the 2 touchdowns in this game. And I'd sell the touchdowns and buy into the actual usage.
Love that. I like the Pacheco call. Got him in my Dynasty League, and he looked pretty good as well, I think. Oh My Shoes, welcome to the show. I love this. This is like, this is classic. This is our community here. I hate that I'm late. I've been too busy at work this morning. Good morning. I love that. You know, screw work. Just listen to Sports Card Strategy, Football Card Strategy, Football Card Quest. Go dive into a bunch of Andy's content after this. If you're just gonna blow off work today, it's that time of year. Go consume all of Andy's content over at Football Card Quest and just get into it. All right. So in the last few minutes here, there's 2 things I want to do. First, I want to give you time to talk about the release schedule, because I know that was big on your agenda. And then in our last maybe 30 seconds, I want to get your take on a card that I have listed on eBay selfishly, partially because I have it listed on eBay, but also because I'm just curious to your take on this particular card. But first, let's make sure we get the release schedule in What's notable about the release schedule for football, Andy?
Well, and this is specifically referring to the 2022 rookies because the Panini release schedule has been delayed big time again. We're probably not going to see Base Donruss, which is a flagship brand from Panini that comes out with rated rookies, the rookies in their pro uniforms. This is probably not going to come out to like January now at this point. They pushed back select draft picks to October. They pushed back Prism draft picks. And we're still talking college uniform cards now to November, and we have no dates, no any inkling of anything from Base Donruss. I mean, so we're not looking at anything really good in pro uniforms. I think it's besides like some hobby only sets like Gold Standard Elements. You know, that's it, and those sets are lesser desirable than, of course, the big sets, especially stuff with rated rookie logos. So, you know, right now it's important to understand that the rookie card product that is out, like cards from Legacy, very liquid, very popular, cards from Prestige that have the college uniform, but they also have that rookie card shield. They have that pro team logo on the front of it. Those cards are continue to be very liquid for the next couple months. Like, these are going to be the cards that you're going to want to flip for rookies. And there is going to be rookies that catch fire here. Even more and more as we go along. And a lot of rookies, you go back and look throughout the years, they catch fire towards the end of the season when they really start, you know, they get an understanding the speed for the NFL, the playbook and everything, and they come alive. So, you know, just keep that in the back of your mind that if you're waiting for these pro uniform products to come out for rookies, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen until like early next year. So feel okay with some college uniform stuff, as long as it has those elements we were talking about.
Yeah. I think this could be bad and frustrating for collectors who want to buy these cards and keep them because you have to wait longer, but this could open up new opportunities for investors that think differently. Like you said, you know, this opens up the window for these rookie cards in college uniforms that will come out and have come out, and gives them a longer runway basically to be relevant. All right, so let's get in Oh My Shoes' question here before we get my question in. What did you guys think of Geno Smith's performance?
I mean, hey, 82% completion percentage. He was almost 100% accurate through the first half of that game. And he didn't throw his first incompletion until like right at the end of the first half. But at the same time, I will say that, you know, the Seattle Stadium, obviously a big advantage to the Seahawks, and the Denver Broncos defense did not play well in that game. You know, I think that was a big reason of it. I would say I mean, obviously Geno Smith cards are very, very, very cheap. You could look at like his rookie ticket autos. I saw a lot of those selling. I was like, wow, you know, I didn't know there were so many rookie ticket auto Geno Smiths out there. They were selling for 100 or less. And from 2013, that's a pretty rare card. Like, that's less than Travis Kelce. You know, like, this is selling for around the same as Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins. So I get it. And people are throwing those flyers out there. They want to get exposure. He went 1-0. You know, he's a guy that's got some draft capital. He's been around the league for a while. He's also got some mobility, like runs a 4.5, you know. So he's not like a slow quarterback. He's got a little bit of dual threat to him. And the accuracy was, you know, got people excited. And they upset the Broncos. But I would say, whoa, 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 slow that down. Don't keep buying Geno Smith cards throughout this week. I mean, sure, if you want to take the risk, but understand, like, have some personal collection value, because he never panned out for the Jets and he never started for a team after that for a reason. Like, he never had above a 55% completion ratio efficiency markers with the Jets as a rookie. So there's a reason why he's been a backup for all these years. And he beat out Drew Lock. Let's remember, he beat out Drew Lock for the starting job here. And it's still Pete Carroll we're talking about as a head coach. So, you know, just temper those expectations. I thought it was a great week one, but I think they totally upset the Broncos in a game which, if they were playing anywhere else, they probably wouldn't have won. If Nathaniel Hackett would have started his starters throughout the preseason, like, you know, a smart coach, then maybe they would have had a little bit, you know, better, you know, gelling chemistry, and the Broncos would have easily beat them. So they're playing the 49ers. Seahawks are playing the 49ers this weekend in San Fran. and they're looking to bounce back after their week one loss in the monsoon game. So I just temper those expectations for Geno Smith. Not a guy I'm personally investing in. I get it if you are. They're very cheap. But don't spend a ton of money. Don't spend over $100 on Geno Smith cards.
Okay. Texas Roadshow Shop chimes in. They know what's up when it comes to basically all things, but especially the release schedule. Elite just came out, and they have the first on-card autos in pro jersey. So that's good information from Texas Roadshow Shop.
Nice. Andy, yeah.
Add something on that?
No, I think Elite is a nice design. I think Elite is a nice design. So that would be the set that I would kind of look at, especially if it's got on-card auto. The big thing for me that I look at, does it have a rookie card shield? Check. On-card auto? Check. Pro uniforms? Another check. Man, okay, now we're looking at a flagship kind of set. But I mean, still, Elite is not, like, if you go back 2018, 2019, and a lot of those Elite sets, they didn't put that rookie card shield, so I think that kind of hurts it. But that set still has not been, it's been an underperforming set, comparably speaking. The autographs and the serial numbers and those kind of things kind of take it a long ways, but it's not going to ever perform. The base cards are never going to perform like a base prism or a base optic.
Absolutely. All right. One last thing. And then we got to run, and everybody, thanks for watching and listening. I've got a SGC 10 gold label, Trevor Lawrence. Now this is a kind of a weird card. It's a Panini Instant Draft Night illustration, but he is in his pro uniform. And it is an SGC 10 gold label, pristine gold label, which you don't see a lot of.
No, you don't.
And it is Trevor Lawrence. So it's a weird card. Panini Instant is not really ever desirable. Going to be the first one to admit that. But what would you sort of value this card at? Like, is this a card? Like, is the SGC 10 gold label something you would hold or be excited about for a quarterback like Trevor Lawrence? Or is this a, hey, Paul, you've got it listed. Good job. Because I said earlier in the show, Trevor Lawrence is a sell. And the fact that this is an SGC 10 pristine gold label gives it some semblance of desirability in the first place.
Well, it definitely does, because that is a very rare card. It's hard to get. It's not as rare as the BGS 10 gold label. Or BGS 10 black label, I should say. So it's not quite to that level, but it is somewhere between a PSA 10 or maybe like around a PSA 10 and underneath the BGS 10. And obviously you've got some really nice assets to that card, right? I mean, the serial number, it's autographed too, you said, right?
It's not autographed.
So it's not autographed, but okay, I see you got it on the screen here. Okay, yeah, so, man, it's an interesting one. I think you may still kind of struggle to sell this only because it's not autographed. Yep. And it's from Panini Instant. I do like the fact it's got the rookie card shield, that portrait-style photograph, of him. I think it's pretty cool. So it does have some really nice assets and SGC 10 gold label, which is really nice. What's the serial number at the bottom? It's like,
so they printed 13,593 of these, which is a lot.
Wow.
But yeah, so I don't know. Like, I've had some offers around $75, $85. The opening bid's $99. There's no bids yet. 3 days left, 6 watchers. I thought, I just had no idea, like, just total no clue really how to price this card. I have seen, I did the research of, what do other SGC 10 gold label cards go for that are Panini Instant or other rookies of this class that aren't, are the least desirable sets, like those kinds of things, like unautographed. I did kind of all that research, and typically they're going, these kinds of cards are going for maybe between $150 and $250. So I was hopeful that this would sell for around that. And, you know, I'll update you guys in an upcoming episode of one of the shows, but just kind of curious to your take, because there's just really not much out there about these kinds of cards really even being transacted. And I think really the only thing that gives this thing desirability is the pristine 10 gold label from SGC. And I just don't know how much desirability that gives something. So you know, we'll see what happens with this, but definitely would like to know what you guys think in the comments as well. Have you had experience with an SGC 10 gold label on an average at best type of a card?
So it would really help if he would have won this past week, you know, like he had some more hype going in and he looked a lot like crisper and cleaner in his start this year. But unfortunately, that's not quite the case. I mean, I think you've got probably will sell it for around 100, you know. Like you said, I think that card would have been a great flip when Trevor was a rookie. And this was one of 100 different rookie cards of him in pro uniforms, and it's serial numbered and stuff. But now with all the sets out, you know, and everything else that is just much more desirable with chrome finishes and stuff, you're right. I think the only thing that's really kind of buoying that card is that grade, you know, that pristine. So, yeah, I mean, I think you have it. Honestly, I like if you are rolling the dice on auctions, and I know it's like hard pill to swallow, but starting your auction at 99 cent. Yeah. So you get watchers, you get bidders, you draw them in, and you create this notification bidding war where it kind of boils up at the end. But it, you know, it didn't quite work out for Trevor Lawrence in week one. So I'm not sure how much competition on that card specifically there will be. And you could end up selling it for only 60, 70 bucks. And you may rather hold that card and just list it in a buy it now and see if Trevor Lawrence does catch fire here at some point, maybe next year. Like, he's the type of guy, being a number one overall draft pick, he's going to spike again probably this upcoming offseason and next year just because of that initial rookie hype. Hopefully, if he doesn't just flame out terribly bad this year, you know?
Absolutely. A lot of great lessons in there. I'm glad I asked you. Definitely selling during the rookie season for a guy like that. And then if that doesn't work out, basically waiting until he starts to perform like his draft capital. Andy, thank you so much. Do you have anything else you want to add in Football Card Strategy Show Episode 5 before we sign off?
No, man. We've covered a lot of topics and a lot of buy, sell, hold stuff. So, just temper the expectations in terms of like what we saw from week one. Like we got a lot of clues, but I wouldn't just like peg, you know, teams into certain holes, because a lot of times what happens week one totally changes by week three, you know, totally changes by week three. And, you know, the Packers are a primary example. So just, you know, just give it a good 3 weeks before you start drawing season long conclusions about, you know, players and teams.
Yeah. Football card flipping is super hard. It's super risky during the season. So we're going to come back at you. Andy and I are going to release more Football Card Strategy shows frequently throughout this season. Thanks everybody for watching and listening. I'm Paul Hickey with nooffseason.com. He's Andy Kaysen with Football Card Quest and nooffseason.com. And Andy, thanks again. Everybody, thanks again for watching and listening. Please comment. Please let us know how you think we're doing and how we can improve the show. Have a great day. And now the rock music.